It's never going to change.
Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 45 for Friday, February 27th, 2015.
Radio studios in the beer capital of America, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Please welcome your hosts of the Weekly Dose of Fat, Sven and Gomez.
People of Earth, this is not a drill. This is Gomez from the planet Gnome Drawn.
This is Sven and we're being invaded. Ah! Hey, speaking of being invaded, we've got JK Living in the studio.
This show is sponsored by the Surly. Surly is fitting a fine fit on you with good fitting gear. Get some at surlybox.com.
Peace.
Peace. Hey, JK, what do we have in store for the audience this week?
On this week's show, we've got beards and beer. Beer and beards. Beer and beards.
Like, that's unusual.
Yep. Wise man or wise guy? Chewy is the special guest this evening. We give away two entries to the Fat Bike Berkey. Gomez has a report from the race director of the ITI, Kathy Merchant. And we got links in our drinks, and the studio phone lines are open at 818-918-2453.
Hey, speaking of that, we've got our first caller already. Let's go to the caller.
We're going
to
take the third person that can actually go and wants this registration for the Berkey. We're going to take the third male caller, and we're going to take the first female caller, and those are our rules.
So the caller that's waiting on the line is either a winner or a loser. Kind of depends.
But he'd be our first caller, so please welcome to the show. Who's on the line?
Hey, this is Nathan.
Nathan, what's up, my man?
Hey.
You were Johnny, hey. You were Johnny on the spot with the right at 8 o'clock. That was sweet.
You know, I really wanted to win that entry.
Well, all you have to do is, like, call back a little later. You're two calls too early.
Yeah, they're not...
Well, you were supposed to say it was the first caller, not the third caller.
But it's the first caller if you're a female. You sound kind of male-ish.
So if you won, would you go to the Berkey?
Actually, I was planning on going, and then when I went to sign up, it was already closed.
Wow.
So,
Sob story might have something.
I was planning on going.
Is this Nathan from Nathan from Eau Claire?
No. I'm down near Beloit, Wisconsin.
Ah, Beloit.
But I actually, yeah.
Yep. Cool.
The great state of Wisconsin.
Indeed. That's where we're at.
True that.
That's where we're broadcasting this all over. On Pirate Satellite. Ow!
The number that I called said it was California. So I thought, hey, well.
We have gnomes in California that help us with our extraterrestrial
needs. Aren't we all cousins?
Farm.
All right. So we've got Beards and Beer coming up here, Nathan. You know, hang out, listen to the segment. Call back. Yeah,
you know. Crack a beer and then and time your call back to be the next. Not
next caller. Yeah. Chewy doesn't count either.
Yeah. Chewy doesn't count.
We got Chewy coming up.
All right, dude. All thanks
guys,
for calling
I'm
in.
I'm calling back.
All right, see ya.
Yeah, well, there's our first try.
So before we get started here, now that we got the rules of the call-ins, I just want to do a little shout-out for, you know, Colin. We brought him back. We used a recording of his introduction show.
Yep.
And Colin moved out to Denver with no job. First of all, his metal band, Daggereth, their CD is coming out. I just saw the cover art.
Congratulations,
for it,
dude.
And it was badass looking. And on top of that, he got a JOB at Prost Brewing, which is a German brew house out there in Denver that's perfect for him. And Colin, if you're listening, send beer.
Yes.
Send us a growler of beer.
And stuff.
Yeah, indeed.
So speaking of growlers of beer, we don't have growlers today, but we do have beer. What have we got?
Beer.
So, we were up at Frostbike. We picked up a 12-pack of Session Lager by Full Sail Brewing. And we brought back the survivors. 9 of those beers survived.
I'll say a tall order for a small 12-pack.
Indeed. So we don't get Session in Wisconsin, but they do in Minnesota. And I just love this beer because it reminds me of going to Fruta and visiting my friend Jerry Wolf when he was the manager there. My buddy Tom, who lives in town.
At Over the Edge. Right on.
We would bring a 12-pack of these over, maybe ride the cruiser bike over to the liquor store and play rock, paper, scissors and just have a ball. It's just
so you guys good just times. You guys just popped your beer. What's under your beer cap? Oh, yeah. Oh, Gomez hasn't popped his yet. It's time for rock, paper, scissors from Session. So I must confess my semi-ignorance in that I thought Session was the style of beer, not the beer brewer.
Gotcha.
But it is I'm not saying that makes it a bad beer or a good beer, just I'm an idiot.
All right. I'm part of the Lake family crest is actually...
1, 2, 3.
Rock.
Paper.
Scissors.
Again, my paper covers his rock crosses his scissors cut my paper. It's a never-ending circle.
No, your paper covered his rock, yeah, and then that. My scissors cut your paper.
Right, and then I covered his rock, and he smashed you, and
no,
that's a big...
No.
This is what we call...
No.
This is what we call...
Come on, I'm an only child. I'll stay on my feet until...
What do you think of this beer? It's the Beer Advocate gave it an 83, but the Bros gave it a 90. That's either a good or an outstanding.
Well, I've already had one before this, and I want the next one that we just opened. So that's a good thing. I think it's a tasty beer.
Yes, even on the Session, it's at the 5.1
yes.
ABV. That's still drinkable in long.
Oh, yeah.
Long
that's regular sprints.
Planned out.
Or long sprints. They're called marathon drinking sessions.
All right.
It isn't that far from, say, the beer that you're probably going to be like, but it isn't that far off from a Spotted Cow.
Spotted Cow. Well, that's a good beer, too. Yeah. You just drink it
a
too
sweet
much,
lager.
Hey, guess what? We've got a caller on the line.
Welcome Buenas noches, to the program.
Joe Boo.
Joe Boo, how are you doing?
How are you doing, good fellas? Listening for the past couple of minutes, listening to you guys talking about beer. I'm at work and all.
I saw you were snowshoeing some trails in up there. How's the riding been?
Oh, it's been spectacular after the past couple of days. Driven in really nice. That and the wood rats really like to use it too.
Very nice. I'm hoping you get some more snow that's on its way to the Fat Bike Berkey in a little bit here. It'd be great if there was a little extra snow up that way.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice. Hey, I got an invitation for whoever wants to come down for the Saturday after Thanksgiving. I know it's not as sexy as heading over to visit Bruce, but that's a good riding up here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Most definitely good riding. So, yeah.
So you're inviting Sven and I to come and have Thanksgiving with you?
Dinner?
Well, I'd have to run that by the minute.
Because we may be onto something here, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, indeed. Well, you have an open invitation.
Right on.
Oh, that's cool. Well, that's very cool.
Whoa, who did all that right, song? Warrant or something? You've got an open invitation.
There you go. Warrant, I don't know.
Oh, it was somewhere in the hair band days, obviously. Well, yeah.
I got to get back to work, though.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling in. It's good to hear from you.
Peace,
hey, no
Joe.
Problem, take care. Bye-bye.
So that was caller number two.
Caller number two. And we're still fully into the... we had never cheersed it, actually, or did we? I miss it.
Boom! Boink! Clank, clank, clank.
That was the first beer stop in the show. And
there can be more. It is not really a problem.
I think there should be more. And we're going to continue with this nuclear piece in the rock, paper, scissors in case there's any insurgencies or thrusts or bulges that are attacked. We'll come to you with the emergency broadcasting program. But... You know what's up next?
Yes, I don't.
Yes. We're going to be right back with my personal life coach, bicycle sage and scientist, Chewy.
One taste and you'll agree, you can't find a more fresh, flavorful, first quality product than Texas Pete Hot Sauce. Texas Pete makes history with every batch. Try mixing Texas Pete with melted butter as a dipping sauce for your next order of shrimp, and you'll agree, nothing wakes up food like Texas Pete. TexasPete.com.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
You know what? I think Chewy's going to call in, or are we calling him? How are we going to get a hold of that man?
I can get him to call right now.
Otherwise, while we're waiting for him, why don't you dial him up? We're going to take the third caller who has called in, and I believe the third caller does what? The third caller wins.
The third caller wins.
Well, if it's a male.
Right.
If it's a female, she wins too. So guess what? The next caller
is
automatically a winner. Let's see who that is. Technology. All right. Who's the winner of the
awesome sauce?
Awesome.
That is awesome. It's Nathan.
Oh, Nathan.
Dude, you did the back.
You did the circle around and got in the queue. Very good, man.
That was cool.
It pays to be persistent.
There you
go. That was it.
You're the big winner. And that's cool that it goes to somebody that got shut out, and now you have the magic golden ticket.
Magic golden ticket.
You guys are great. I'm glad that I got in.
That's totally cool.
That's great. Well, we're going to have to get some information from you, so send me an email to sven@fat-bike.com. Sven.
Right. I got to write this down, do I? Or is it right on the website?
Info@ will get to me. Just info@fat-bike.com. I just want to get some particulars about how you go ahead and pick up the registration, because it's already pretty late in the game. You'll get some information in an email so that we can keep up with you.
Awesome.
Oh, congratulations, dude.
Actually,
look for us at the after party at the Sawmill in Sealy. We'll be giving away a bunch of prizes, enter the raffle, buy some tickets, and donate to the Kamba Trail System up there so they can get more fat bike grooming equipment, and it's good for everybody.
That sounds great. Hey, you know, I've got a question for you guys, because you guys are purveyors of all fat bike knowledge, correct?
Sounds like this is for Gomez here.
Uh-oh. I'm texting my boyfriend.
No, go ahead. Yes, Bruce.
I'm actually texting the guest here. But go ahead. I'm a total multitester.
Multitester.
Well, so I'm building up a fat bike frame, and I'm looking at a 190 hub for the rear with 100-millimeter rims.
Very nice plan. Let's hear how you're going to execute it.
So my question is, I have the choice of going quick release or through axle, and I was contemplating at first doing the 170 hub, but it seems as though for the 100-millimeter rims, 190 is really the way I should probably go.
If you want if you want a full range of gears and more options, and you're going to run a 5-inch tire on a 100-millimeter rim, you got to go for a 190 class axle, whether it's a 197 or a 190, might come down to how you're going to use the bike.
Yeah, 197 through axle, baby. That's the monster truck.
Right. Why not just step right up to the plate?
Right. And there's some really cool stuff on it. We just showed a picture of a Paul hub with his through axle, and totally awesome and really, really nice looking. DT just came out with a wheel that has an 80-millimeter rim, but is laced to a 196.
And quite attractive weight.
Yeah. Yep. So you understand, it's like a 190 frame can generally take, with sliding dropouts, can generally take 197 through hub and 190 hubs, kind of the same hub, but a different dropout and a different axle.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've got another caller on the line,
question,
Nathan.
Go ahead, man. Well, my question actually was, with that 190 hub, what I was curious about was the quick release or the through axle, because what I've found is people talking online with the 190 hubs being longer, that they're wearing out bearings quicker. And I didn't know if that would be as problematic with the through axle or the quick release.
I think they would be equal. The through axle just gains you a much stiffer axle and a much it really braces out that rear triangle into a solid non-flexing unit. Because any quick release, you just have that one little 7-millimeter axle that holds the two ends of your dropouts together. Yeah. And when you use a through axle, that completely solidifies that and locks it down. And that's why with carbon frames that are so light that started out with them, but I think it should be a mountain bike standard that people start to use through axles instead of quick releases.
Yeah, I think if it's any reputable hub maker out there, it's going to be a good hub no matter what.
Right.
So okay, I just wasn't sure if the through axle was more for like a stock, because, you know, I'm planning on running it rigid.
If you want a nice rigid hookup between like the stiffness of your wheels and the stiffness of your frame, go with the through axle. The only difference between...
You know what? I got an idea. What? Let's ask Chewy what he thinks of this.
We have to go to our special guest. Chewy is on the line.
Give us your opinion on the 190 versus through axle versus
he's,
one.
He's probably going to swear at us right away.
I was calling in something serious. What is this fucking nerd chat or what?
Just so you know.
I told you he was going to swear at us right away.
Right. Okay, Chewy, we've got Nathan on the line, and he's got a serious question of 190 quick release versus 197 through axle. And I don't care if this is a 190. It happens at 170, 177, blah, blah, blah. Through axle versus quick release. What do you think?
I think through it. I don't have one, but I have so much trouble with quick release just in general that I think quick release is on its way out. Through axle is the way to go.
And yeah, you're not a Luddite after all, are you?
Yeah, it's like sloppy. That little axle slops around in your 9-millimeter dropout as opposed to that 12 or 15 and QR going right through a fitted piece. I mean, it takes the slop out of the whole thing.
Speed and I run everything rigid.
Yeah,
you know, I run everything single speed. I run everything rigid, and the only reason I don't have it is because it's the shit I'm riding, it's not on there. I'm just not there yet. But I mean, it would be, if I ever got a new bike, if I ever bought anything fancy, that'll be my next move. It'll probably be go through axle. There's no doubt about it.
So
and everybody that I've ever talked to that's had it loves it.
Right on. So Nathan, Nathan's still on the line listening in to Chewy's words of wisdom. There you have it. It is a vote from the master for a through axle, even though he doesn't have one, and I agree 100% with him. If you can do that, do that.
Thanks, Chewy. Hey, no problem. wait. Here.
All right, Nathan.
All right, Nathan.
We'll talk to you later, bro.
We'll see you, Nathan. Chewy, stay on the line. Don't hang up.
Yeah, because you're our love child for the next 5 minutes.
So, yeah. How's it going, bro?
What, you know,
hey guys.
When we did the read through earlier, Gomez told us what he thought of you, how he envisioned you, and I thought it was really cool. What was
I always envisioned like he's the wise man at the top of the mountain, but instead of being the guru that's sitting in lotus position hovering 6 inches off the ground, he's in an old, you know, just your run-of-the-mill plaid plastic lawn chair. In
like you might see out there in shorts, at the Salton Sea.
Right, short sandals with a big overflowing cooler of Pabst Tall Boys. Just dispensing the bike wisdom to whoever can climb the mountain.
Did you hear him whip the bike wisdom down on Nathan?
Damn right.
Damn straight.
Are you envisioning me in Lycra or not in Lycra?
What you wear underneath your baggy shorts is your own damn business.
Right on, man. So the Pugsley World Championships are coming up shortly here. Same weekend as Fat Bike Berkey, apparently, which seems like a good idea. So you can pull people in two directions at one time. March 7th. 2015.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
It's that
somebody's running a race.
Well, yeah, I think it's you, Chewy. Is this the right Chewy?
wait, am I putting this one on? Son of a.
Hey, you better start planning. You got less than 2 weeks before the race kicks off. It's time to get it in gear.
Yeah, like you're not behind this Mr. $501 reward. Now that you found out that the other race was giving out $500, you're like, 501.
Wait, is really Berkey's giveaway $500? I know nothing about the Berkey. You know what it is? It's another Nerva National, or it's another national race on a fucking go-kart track.
Yeah. Go-kart track. So you have an opinion about other fat bike races that may have been called national championships?
Let's talk about the other two first, because seriously, what, the Berkey has to run 2 weeks after the ski race, right?
Right.
Right.
And then and the Pugsley race is also determined by the weekend they do it is also determined by the two guys that donate the money, or the person that donates the money for the prize money for the weekend that he can do it. And that's why they're on the same weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, he definitely is doing a great thing by putting up the money, so I understand doing it when it's convenient to him.
Yep. Honestly, I don't know if they would have worked together or not anyway, but we probably could have done something together. It's just that both races have stipulations as to when they can run it, and this year it fell on the same weekend.
I think it's all good. I think that your race, the Pugsley World Championships, I was there. I wish I was there for the first one. Tell us a bedtime story about the first Pugsley World Championships, Chewy.
The first one was a point-to-point race. We started, some little park out west and south of Decorah. And we rode, I think the total was just about 30-some miles. The halfway point was Ridgeway. We stopped at the little bar in Ridgeway, and that was a checkpoint.
Started up there in Cresco. Cresco, Iowa was the starting point of Pugsley World Championship 1.
And somewhere along there, it started to snow pretty hard. We got, 6-8 inches during the race.
That's what she said.
My favorite part was leaving Ridgeway, there's a paved bike trail in the summer. Well, it was all drifted in, and it was just this roller coaster. If you're on a fat bike, it was funner than hell. And the few guys that tried to ride on a regular mountain bike were just crying the whole way. And, it had a little bit of gravel, a little bit of open field, a little bit of bike trail. It was a little bit of everything. It was pretty fun. Logistically, it wasn't as nice. So that was the only one that we did that was actually point-to-point. And every year since then, it's been a giant loop with a start and finish somewhere in downtown Decorah, basically.
Right on. You rode Sweep in that very first Pugsley World Championship, didn't you?
Yep. I did it on a single-speed Pugsley along with Terry Houghton, who was riding a regular, I think he was riding his Marin and just a regular mountain bike.
Yep,
and
that was a lot of gravel on that one.
Yeah, there was.
Tell us the secret to becoming Pugsley World Champion.
Well, it's not the race. You can take your $500 and go home if you want to. 501, sorry. But it's in the feats of strength afterwards that determines if you are the Pugsley World Championship and if you get to take the axe home for a year.
Right on.
And no, I'm not telling you what it is.
It's good to make it.
I got 2 weeks, I haven't got a clue yet. I'm not going to decide yet. It's too early.
Well, you just learned that the thing was happening here on the show today, so it's no wonder you don't have a concrete plan yet.
It should be something abstract and attached to black magic or voodoo, I think. That's just me.
Last year we did, I made up some bike polo sticks, and we did little balls that glowed in the dark when you hit them, and we did obstacle course races with them. That went on for holy crap, it must have took us 2 hours to finish. We had to stop at least four times after, we must have did 4 or 5 rounds, and we had to stop after each one for a beer break and go back inside and warm up.
Probably a very good plan.
I just remember the year I went. They put firecrackers and bottle rockets and everything, and they had.
Oh, that's right.
That's when Dave Lund sacrificed the Pugsley to the 1,000 firecracker roll.
Oh my god, it was so good.
Was that the year that we were doing the tug of war with a with a large marge inner tube?
Yep, and that incredible teeter totter as well.
And Colin won it when I was. When I had been, drunk under the table, but I rose from that, and I drank again.
You were Jesus drunk.
Jesus drunk.
You were drunk, and then you were resurrected.
I woke up in my van.
Yeah.
That's all I remember about that evening, was my van. I was like, where am I? In a parking lot.
We all envy you for your van.
Down by the river.
We all want to be you, Laredo, out there living in a van. We didn't get to call you the Rochester Slapshot.
Yeah. Oh.
What's your hockey name, Chewy?
Because I'm a goalie. I don't know.
The Net Hog live on FM 101.
All right. Sorry, I interrupted. You were talking about the course. But what I know what people
this year we're going to take the course is going to be I'm actually going to go out and ride it on Saturday.
And probably mark it out and figure it out, or wait till what the conditions are on the day of the race.
Well, I'll mark it out the Friday before, and it's going to be, so the reason that it's different than going to Berkey is Berkey's going to be on cross country ski trails. And this will be probably, if weather holds out the way things are going, we got, 4 inches of snow today, so that's going to add a nice base to it again. We'll probably do 80% will be on single track.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of good trails there in Decorah.
And personally, that's what I think a fat bike mountain bike race, a fat bike race should be. I get you do with what you've got, but the groomed trail shit to me is just that. I can race that same thing on a regular mountain bike and do just as well. Fat bikes should be the reason for fat bikes is so we could get out into the stuff that we can't ride in the summer, as far as I'm concerned.
I just remember the guy at the first Fat Bike Berkey on the mountain bike that said, never again. There was 4 feet of snow that were compacted there, so he was just digging through way more. If it's just a little bit of if it's just a little bit of snow over the local trails, I agree with you. You don't have to have a fat bike, but it gives me that little bit extra edge of confidence when it starts getting a little sketchy. It's like, I got these big fat tires. These are working for me.
And don't you admit this year the snow conditions around, at least and where we're over this side of the Midwest, it's everything, we've got everything packed down so well. We have, our groomer is a motorcycle with a tire with cement blocks in it, and we've used it once this year.
All right, but you just said grooming sucks.
It's not grooming if all you're doing is knocking down the drift.
All right.
Okay, it's grooming, it's not manicuring. You guys manicure.
Oh. Oh, man. As long as I can get a happy ending with my manicure, I'm good with that.
If you want to get fucking picky about it.
That's where I was going.
Hey, Chewy, speaking of grooming trails, they got that new Snowhawk in Decorah. Have you ridden that thing yet?
No, I haven't been down to Decorah since the night race.
Oh,
I'm a world traveler now,
I know. I fully expected Spinner to call in and start talking about 24 OP with us.
Hey, how was 24 OP?
I don't think he survived yet. This is my second year doing the 24 hours. So I took Spinner down for his first trip to Arizona. I'm not sure he's going back. He's about as Norwegian as they come, and the heat was killing him. The Arizona Single Speed Championship was held in Cave Creek, just north of Phoenix, and that was a phenomenal course. That was harder. It probably wasn't the hardest course I've ridden down there, but it rose up there. It was baby heads and rocks, and there was a mile and a half stretch that nobody rode. Even the fastest guys, even the good riders that lived there, walked it. It was that miserable of a climb. But you had to do it to do all the really fun stuff on either side of it, so it just had to be. But it was it was kind of spread out. So the campgrounds was about 5 miles away from where the host bar bike shop, and so they used a U-Haul to get people back and forth. And then they'd haul a keg on there, and they were doing keg. There's videos out there of guys doing keg stands inside the moving van as they're U-Hauls. They're hauling them out to the campgrounds. And
classic.
It was insane, but it was a giant party at the halfway point. It was kind of like a lollipop. So you did this 13-mile ride out there of some fantastic single track, and then there was a giant loop afterwards that was a lot easier. But big tent, keg, pizzas. I'll bet half the riders didn't even continue on. They all just sat there and laid in the creek and enjoyed the day because it was so hot.
Nice.
It was 85 probably.
Sounds good. Just the way it turned out.
So did DJ run that race?
Yep, and then DJ was there. Yep, he was there. Then DJ took off and went to Tucson. We went to Sedona and rode for a day or so. And then we went down and did 24 hours. So it was Spinner and I, Scandinavian Jesus, and Charlie the Bike Monger. We're a four-person single-speed team.
Charlie gets around. We just ran into him up at Frostbike and talked a lot of schmack. Did you see the Sav and Charlie video?
No. When you yeah, and you know the thing is that was his plan. He flew down, and then he was gonna go do the Arizona thing first. And he was down there. We hung around together for like a week. Actually, him and Dirty went to the Baja surfing for a while in between the two races, and then we all raced together. But don't let him fool you. That was the weakest British invasion ever. That boy was in bed 3 hours before anybody else was even getting sleepy every night.
Really?
Probably jet lag.
Charlie the Bike Monger is really from Cleveland or something. Oh, he's from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I think we're going to get him on the show. We'll ask him about his lineage.
He's horrible. We went to a bar, and this gal was speaking somewhat like him. It was foreign. You couldn't understand her, and he knew she was Irish or something like that. Shit, she lived in the neighborhood just right by him there almost. He couldn't even pick out his own lingo, so he sucks at that.
So how did he perform on the team as a racer?
He brought up the rear really well.
Awesome. So he's worth something after all.
Oh, yeah, because, we actually lost a spot or two in the race just because he decided to take a nap rather than going out on his lap. But he was waiting for somebody to wake him up, but there was no waking him up. Because we were plenty loud enough to wake him up and couldn't get him to move, so.
So, Chewy, you've gone, you've babbled on so long, I think that we should stop at the top of the next hill and have a beer stop.
Right on. Beer break.
Do you have a beer? Do you have a beer there?
I got one. Me? Of course. I'm not talking to you guys sober.
We have to get the official stop at the
official
top.
Beer stop. We're drinking Session Lager. It's premium lager.
Stop at the top.
It's from Oregon, so it's got weed in it.
Is it from Oregon?
Rock.
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 Yes, we are playing rock, paper, scissors with the rock, beer caps rock. That come off of Session.
Yeah, I don't know where my cap went, so I'd lose.
Well, you can't have paper because I got that one right here.
You have paper.
Oh, I have paper.
So that means we win.
No way. Totally, I win. Paper goes over rock.
Not both rocks.
Let's have a little ruling from Chewy from the top of the mountain. Chewy's not even on the line anymore.
I'm not singing.
He hates us.
I'm here. I'm not singing.
You don't own me. You don't own me. I'm not no damn referee. So, yeah, our interview has digressed into this, Chewy. Chewy, how do you feel about...
I'm drinking shells on this end.
Oh, nice. How do you feel about fat bike racing in 2015, Chewy?
My opinion of fat bike racing will be shown at Pugsley World Championship. Probably in the feet of strength.
Feet of strength.
So only 12 people who get to know.
I tell you, yeah. That's it. The hell with the rest of you guys. No, here's a cool thing. So the two races I did in Arizona, in the desert, these guys never ride in the snow. There was a big number of fat bikes. Swiss Spinner and I were on our Surly Pugsleys. There was some Specialized Fat Boys. There was a couple Borealis out there. Of course, it's close by, you know. But most of the guys I talked to, they're just kind of like, yeah, this is my bike. And they work really well out there, even though it's not full suspension, but it works well. And everybody that has one really likes it, and they ride the snot out of them. It seems like nobody's serious about racing them out there, which is okay because you shouldn't be serious if you're racing on a fat bike. But, you know, my lap times, and I'm not fast, but my lap times weren't that much slower on my single speed fast bike as they were on my other single speed.
Yeah, I've learned that too. I thought for sure, 29 or faster, like out at a fast place like Kettle Moraine, and I did some tests with that in a fat bike, 30 seconds difference, maybe in a 2.5 mile test loop or whatever it is. So negligible.
I think doing the 24-hour race I did last year in a single-speed Krampus, but I think the 29-plus was a little bit too tall for those tight corners and some of their ditches, where the 26 ate that stuff up a little bit better. just a little bit of an advantage, I think. Yeah, but it was just nice to see. I mean, and from the racing standpoint of it, I think the national people, USAC, totally screwed everything up. Have you watched the Volkswagen video of it?
Yeah. Yep.
Dude, I was there. They had a 5-person crew there. Producer, director, camera one, camera two.
And drone pilot.
Why don't you just go to a fucking... No, honest to God, why don't you just go to a fucking NASCAR track with those big bank corners and say, oh, and the jump? What do they do? Go to Kmart and buy one of those plastic ones and throw a little white paint on it or something to make a jump?
No, some Groms actually like added to the finish line jump.
Hey, Chewy, we're going to bring another caller in. Let's see who we've got on the line. Maybe they have a question for Chewy.
No way, this is Spinner.
You think?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Come on, how do you know that? What are you, a guru?
Because
Gomez is like, oh, it's Spinner. Oh, that's me hanging on the line. Well, I'm sorry. There's a couple other guys in the queue. I didn't know what his phone number was.
Oh, well, so well played.
All right, mister. I knew it ahead of you. Are you like the guy with the turban on or what?
So Chewy, meet Spinner. Spinner, meet Chewy. You guys are
the famous Chewy that I've never met.
Yeah, or the famous Spinner and Chewy of the bromance novel, probably 14 different books.
Let me ask about Spinner and Chewy a question. Spinner and Chewy, are you guys in for a 3-way? Because we have another caller. We can just see how big this party can get.
Let's do it.
Wait, I'm willing to try.
All right. Spinner and Chewy are having a nice conversation, but we have a new caller on the line. Who's there?
Hey, this is Eric.
Eric, you're in the throes of greatness here with Spinner and Chewy also on the line. Gomez, myself in the studio. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Do you have a question for the panel, sir? There must be something you want to know from the panel.
I was calling to say thanks. I got to meet you guys out at Frostbike this weekend.
Oh, dude.
Wow.
And you gave me a Surly sticker.
See how we are?
Celebrity.
What did you think? We did the thing about the beards of Frostbike on the site. I think we missed about probably 3/4 of them. There were so many beards up there. But did you have a favorite beard style, perhaps?
Jeez, I don't know. There was a lot of good frosty beards. I think it was Sunday morning. There was a really nice one I saw out at the demo track.
Right on. Yeah, they gave away a Salsa Blackburrow at that speed contest around that little course they had. And then you had to do the duathlon.
So
they had to throw tennis balls.
A beard won a Blackburrow? What happened?
Somebody won a Blackburrow. It was one of the 4 finalists there at the Frostbike duathlon.
Now, it was
what company was that?
Salsa.
What company gave that away?
I think they're called Salsa Cycles. It's just like that spicy red stuff that they serve at Mexican places. Salsa. Or the kind of dancing that me and the wife like to do in the privacy of our own home. Goddamn.
All right, we got Spinner on the line. Is Virgin Ears.
What was your guys' favorite bike or product release?
Well, since it's all Q brand stuff up there, you know, there's not a lot of non-Q bikes.
No way, man. I think that little fat Strider coming to America is huge.
It's a Q distributed bike, but not a Q brand.
Right, that early rider fat Strider. $240.
It's a little fat.
I think they're going to sell 6.
A little fat Strider, is that code for something?
I'll be your little fat Strider. No. No, it's a bicycle. God, I'm blowing the meter out, aren't I?
You're blowing something there, buddy.
Jesus. I'm so excited about this little bike. Little fat Strider. You know, just wait till you have a grandchild and you'll be like, oh, yeah. Totally.
So Eric stumbled into a big pile of what the hell's going on here?
What the hell is like?
I heard about a three-way while I was waiting.
Yeah, at least you get queued up on the manic people that are on the line before you get there. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What's up? How's it going? What's fat biking like?
I'm from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Oh, right on. I used to go through there a lot.
Of Midwest.
Yeah. Midwest represent.
Fat biking is good. We just got fresh about 3 inches of powder last night, so things not here yet.
Hell yeah. Man, we got good writing. I bet you have good writing for most of March. And then April, it kind of turns to poop.
Is that a technical term?
Poop. March is kind of on and off. It'll be 80 one day, and then we'll get dumped on with snow the next day. So,
always something different to do in Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever seen a buffalo with a blonde wig on?
All right, man. Well, hey, hang out on the line. We're going to talk a little bit to Chewy. Right. We're going to talk a little bit to Chewy and Spinner. Hey, you're welcome to listen in.
Enter him for a free bike or something. That you guys. Oh, wait, you're giving away tickets to the Berkey.
Yeah. How about you give him? Yeah. How about you
come to Decor and we'll put you in the Pugly World Champion Show. Something that really means something instead.
I highly recommend it. If you can make it over there, you'd be a fool not to go with an invitation. See, Eric, like that.
You just talked yourself into a free entry into the Pugsley World Championships.
And it's not more than 6 hours from Sioux Falls, I bet. It's not really that bad a drive.
Right. You can win $501.
That's not a bad job. That'd be perfect.
So we got a dude coming over from Omaha, don't we?
Yeah. Mike's coming up. He's got the axe. He's got the championship axe.
Right. Somebody has to return it.
Oh, yeah. McColgan is coming up. So hook this guy up, Chewy. We'll call you after the.
Name and number.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Tell him who you are.
Eric, we'll call you after the show, and we'll get you the entry. Thanks, Eric.
10-4.
Is he gone now?
No, I'm still here.
Eric.
We'll let him hang out for a little bit, mostly because I don't know who's who on the phone.
I didn't want him to know that there's no registration fee anyway for the Pugsley World Championship.
All listeners get a free entry to the Pugsley World. Everybody listening tonight or this weekend.
That's right. All of our listeners tonight are actually awesome. This is like Oprah. Look under your chairs. That's right. You've got a free entry to the Pugsley World Championships and a backhand slap on your ass.
Hallelujah, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Oprah show all over.
Rolling.
4 hours and 29 minutes, it says on the Google Maps, from Sioux Falls, South Dakota to Decorah.
Right on. That's definitely a trip you ought to make.
Can I interrupt for a second here?
Sure.
Tell me if you guys recognize the sound.
What was that?
I didn't hear.
That sound familiar?
Was that?
No, I didn't hear.
It was an old Milwaukee.
I thought you might have been drinking beer. But I didn't get old Milwaukee off that. Old Swilwaukee. I believe it's number 37 out of the America's top 40 worst beers.
Is that Schlitz?
No, Old Milwaukee.
I can't believe Spinner didn't drink it the last time he stayed here.
Did he have something? I missed it.
Yeah,
the beer was freezing. A beer was freezing in my hand last time I was at your place.
That's true.
I've had several slushy beers recently. Yeah. It's rather cold out.
So, Eric, you are out in the you're out in the big 605 area code there, aren't you? That encompasses a lot of land. I used to head out to Mitchell every once in a while, right on the Missouri there. And it's not just really flyover territory. I love South Dakota.
Hell yeah.
No, it is nice. There's a lot of diversity. As you get west, there's a lot more hills and I wouldn't say mountains, but a lot more hills.
Absolutely.
By the Badlands.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Haven't you guys been building a pretty good trail system down there?
Not too much in Sioux Falls. We have limited single track. Mostly we go out and ride gravel roads in the winter and just kind of explore that way, ride the rivers.
I heard those are something new and fancy coming up. They're called gravel bikes.
Gravel?
Yeah.
They don't even know what those are in Iowa. Gravel bike? What's that? We ride on the road. Oh.
It's called an Arizona yard ride. Everybody's yard in Arizona is fucking gravel.
When it gets cold enough, gravel. We just ride the river here.
Very good.
Now, see, that makes sense.
Totally makes sense.
In Minneapolis, my buddy and I found out you cannot ride across the Mississippi.
Well, in certain places and at certain times of the year, I'd give it a go.
We got the police called on us when we got to the other side this weekend.
Really?
Wow.
Well, I bet. Yep.
You can do it. It's just frowned upon.
Yeah, I know. You can do it, just don't get caught.
Yeah.
Well, at least hopefully you had a good time doing it.
And don't draw me because they take a long time to find you.
Yeah.
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 But the turtles are all well fed in the meantime.
All right, Eric. Well, thanks for calling. I'll give you a shout back after the show here in a few minutes, okay?
Sounds good. It's good talking with you guys.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
See you, Eric.
All right, bye.
So, Spinner, tell us about you and Chewy's date at the 24 Hours of Old Pueblo.
Yeah, our Valentine's Day date down in the desert with no showers and porta potties and steak sandwiches and
wow, this is sounding like a hell of a date. Porta potties, steak sandwiches.
Should I come down there or what?
Of a Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pepper.
It was pretty good. The guys, the back of the pack guys, we had, what, 5 kegs of IPA?
Yar.
Chewy, was that what we had down there?
4 peaks. Yeah, 4 peaks. Yeah.
4 kegs. And Tecate and whatever.
No.
Did we ride it?
It was from the, I didn't even know. It was from the, it was from 4 Peaks Brewery in Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Yep, so tell us about Dirty's Coaster Break single speed. And
He split his cog in half on the first lap.
Oh, that's the massive power of Dirty.
That's what you get for riding a clunker.
Yeah.
Wow. Clunker race. Which one of the guys did like an hour and 16 minute lap on a clunker?
Wow.
Was less than that. Hour 6 minutes? Yeah, I mean, he was like his lap was as fast as anybody in the upper 20% of the riders.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Wild.
So there's your new fad.
Hey, we're already buying up every URL that we can find that has to do with hairy Turkish foreskins or coaster brakes. So.
No, well, the fat bikes rode good. The skin didn't get any flats. I didn't get any flats. I don't know if you got any flats. I don't think we did.
No,
that was the major concern. We filled the tubes full of slime and sands, a mixture of slime and sand.
Wow, there you
go. So the fat bikes were pretty heavy, but...
no flat tires, no problem.
No flat tires, yeah.
No flat tires, nope.
That's how you live in the Big Thorn environments, for sure. Tubes and slime, man. Mm-hmm.
Tubes and slime.
Works like a charm. Well, all right, boys. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to bid you adieu. Thanks for being on the show.
Adieu for you.
Did you just swear at me?
I was speaking French to you, Chewy. You sexy bastard.
Okay. As you must.
All right, kids.
All right. I'm going to go drink.
Bye-bye. Thanks for being on the show.
Cheers, lads.
Party in.
When it comes to fat bikes, Zion Cyclery in Zion, Illinois has you covered. They stock fatties from Surly, Salsa, 907, Borealis, and Trek, as well as everything from 45 North. The staff is friendly, the mechanics are top-notch, and they stock the largest selection of fat bikes in the Chicago-Milwaukee area. There's a mountain bike park and some great beach riding in Zion, so come, make a day of it. Call 847-746-2200 or visit zioncyclery.com.
This is Heather Best, and you're listening to The Weekly Dose of Fat.
Welcome back to the radio program. Gomez has a report from Kathy Merchant, the race director of the Iditarod Trail Invitational.
Yeah, Kathy has been sending emails in to us, and she's the race director of the ITI. So she heard our interview with Heather Best last week. She was like, I love that. Let me tell you about what's going on and how conditions are. And they're hurting for snow up there. It's been in the 40s in Anchorage. And my buddy Zach in Anchorage has been saying, oh, yeah, it's like plate glass here. If you don't have studs, you're going nowhere.
I heard they bought a lot of studs up in Alaska, though.
Yeah, a lot of Dillingers. A lot of studded Dillingers probably live up in Anchorage. So, but it's now it's cold, but they don't necessarily have a lot of snow. So it might be a record-setting pace like they had last year. I saw big sections of where they're riding dirt trail. So
yeah, last year Charlie said there was at least 30 miles or something or right. more. Yeah,
so. Right. So you've got a really interesting race. Heather Best, our guest last week, up against Tracy Peterberry from Idaho. Tracy won the Arrowhead this year. And the last time that Tracy was in the Iditarod was 2011, doing the 1,000-mile ride to Nome. But I guess they're both doing the 350. In the men's field, you got Kevin Breitenbach against a rookie that won Jay's Fat Pursuit the last 2 years, Andrew Kulmatinsky. And also, you can't count out the other fatback riders like Tim Burnson, you know, that he's always a perennial podium guy. And then in the 1,000-mile race, you got Jay Peterberry against Jeff Oatley.
So this plays into Charlie's idea of the king and queen of the ITI.
Right.
It could be an impromptu thing. It could be an underground, right. unofficial, off the charts thing.
We talked to Jay about it at Frostbike. He was all for it. He's like, hell yeah, that sounds good.
But my wife is doing the 1,000, I believe, is how he finished it. He said,
oh, I want my wife to do the 1,000. I'll do the 350. But this year it's the other way around. And I think we should start collecting some Burger King crowns for these kids.
Somebody even said we should go up there and man a checkpoint. Why would they trust us to do that? Something so important as manning a checkpoint.
I have no idea. They obviously
you're going, right?
Don't listen. I thought it was your turn to go to Alaska.
Well, we could both go to Alaska.
We can both go out there. Maybe all three of us.
Alaska, here we come. Right so, back where we started from.
Kathy has not only set us up to man a checkpoint or volunteer at a checkpoint, more or less, but she is going to be on the radio program and give us reports as the race goes on. But this year, actually, you can follow the little blips right from your cubicle. You can see Jay Peterberry moving along the tundra.
Except you can't see Heather Best, can you?
Yeah, I think that they opted out. Of the, that's what she said during the interview we did.
Yeah.
So opted out. That's pretty cool that you can follow along, and
that's Spot, right?
Yeah.
SPOT Spot. Send your sponsor dollars to Fat Bike Radio.
I hope we got that right. Whether it is Spot or not, it's some sort of tracker.
I think
they shoot him in the neck with a tranquilizer.
Don't worry, they're tagged. They're tagged. They're all tagged.
All right. Well, as usual, we got a bunch of links. Did anything stand out for you guys on the links?
I think that all of our audience should probably know. Maybe some of you have heard in the news, but you know, there's a labor dispute in our ports that is stopping not just bike parts, but everything coming in the country.
Where's my new 45 North studded tire? I'll tell you where it is.
I'll tell you where it is, yeah. It's sitting right off the Pacific coast waiting to get offloaded. So that's why you can't get your precious insert, whatever you're waiting for. It's not these companies' fault necessarily. When it gets solved, things will get better. And it's starting to hit national news, so...
So it must be important.
Yeah. Before people, you know, God forbid somebody should not have their iPhone. So when that happens, dude, things will
totally
loosen
change.
Up. Yeah. Then we'll get our parts in.
It's actually going to happen when everybody that makes the iPhones loses their job in China because there's no work. It's just like this rock, paper, scissors things we've been doing all day long here. You can't cut the thing off of one deal without messing the other thing up. It's a very delicate balance. It's a delicate balance.
Hakuna Matata.
No economics 101 here. So my favorite link of the week was a whole lot less earth-shattering than that, but it was a pretty cool ride around the island in the middle of Mono Lake in California.
Very cool.
Paddle out there on your boat and do a ride around the island, and the images are just awesome. It looks like the moon, like, quote unquote, but it is. It really does.
Right, because it's a salt lake that supports all kinds of wild brine shrimp and a special fly.
Twice as salty as the ocean,
and it creates all these pinnacles of brine and crustacean Tentacles.
Tentacles.
And then I have to mention my, Julio.com, man. He ran this Team Snowbike Enduro, a race I started a while back. And here's a review of it.
And it's gotten better every year since.
And, this guy said, these are my people. You know, we found another guy that likes to drink beer and smoke bikes.
Smoke bikes, everyone. Smoke bikes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I kept running into the fat bike commuter guy out of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I kept running into that story everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, just... Yeah. That went viral.
I thought the best link was Minneapolis Bike Club said, hey, some guy in Cincinnati does in one day what we do every goddamn day of winter. I'm paraphrasing.
Yes. And when we were at Frostbike, it was chilling and there was a lot of people riding bikes.
Yeah, man. But we got out on a really nice day and had a little ride down on the river bottoms.
It was a very good day.
I didn't have to use my AK. Totally.
Right on. We did talk SKS to you recently, so.
No doubt. Hey, our first caller of the day, Jobu, has a link in there. Coast Kids, the prolific linker. We got to find out where we got to fly into and shit.
Yeah, probably see where we can
get
it.
We should probably do that on the show.
Are we going to go visit Charlie, too? Charlie and then Bruce, or Bruce and then Charlie?
I don't know.
We should do this.
I agree.
We've been invited.
Train travel.
Charlie the Bike Monger's invited. I'll sit, like, hang out. Well, no. And he's going to go, that's the worst fucking Cockney Dorset fucking accent I ever did here there, sir.
He's from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Right then. Well, we've wasted another hour of these good folks' time.
I know.
Fat Bike Radio.
Thanks again to Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast. Surly bicycles are sold at better bicycle retailers and service centers around the globe. Check them out. Surlybikes.com.
That's it. Just remember, rock and roll.
And paper. And scissors.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.